May be seated. It's offering time. Some of you have brought your offering already up to put in the plate, and others can come up during the next song or one of the next songs of the service. But God has been so generous through your gifts, through the gifts of others, even from the community, those who want to give to people in need. And a lot of benevolent offerings have been going out through the church, and that's a blessing. And many of you have been helping with food supplies and stocking the banquet of blessing. You know, all of our gifts count, and even how we serve. So let us bring our tithes and offerings with grateful, joyful hearts this morning. And now let us give thanks. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the many blessings. You are so good. You are a good, good Father. And Lord, we know there may be needs in our own life, and certainly there are needs all around us in this time of reset and return, and you know, things have to change. And so Lord, help us have eyes to see and ears to hear your word and where you're calling us to help those that are right close by, our neighbors right close by. Utilize this wonderful church family, Lord, to spread the good news, to spread your love through stewards of faith. And Lord, we give you thanks and we give you praise, for all good gifts come from you from heaven above. Amen. All right.
Third or maybe fourth Sunday, we've been praying from
stand if you are able.
Well, good morning. What a morning it has been. Glory to God. I'm just going to start. Well, let's pray first. Let me not get off my track. Oh, Lord, we just thank you so much for each and every person who is here, who is listening, who wants to seek for you, Lord. You will be found. Not my words, Lord, but yours. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a little story for you. I heard this a really long time ago. And it's a little competition. The super scientist thinks he's got all of God's creation figured out, and he can do anything. So he decides to challenge the Lord. Okay, well, I can already hear the Lord snickering. So he goes to God and he says, "You create something, and I'll do it too. You go first, God." So God scoops up his dirt and begins to create something. the scientist goes to pick up some dirt, and God says, whoa, foul. This is my dirt. You go get your own. So just keep that in mind. I thought that was always a cute little story. We can really, really think that we're really all about it. And God showed him he could win it, no problem. So, man will never stop God's kingdom from coming. That's the first thing. Jesus came at just the right time. And he will usher in and did usher in the kingdom of God. His ministry is a preview. Now, last week we also heard about thy kingdom come. This week we're still talking about thy kingdom come. I'm looking at three words essentially. First one is energy. The second one is urgency. And the last one is expectation. So as we go through, listen, just listen. In the stories of Jesus' ministry, he's given us a preview of the kingdom of God. What do you think the kingdom of God would look like in this broken place, full of broken bodies, broken hearts, broken minds, lives, and broken lives, if the Creator were fully reigning and recreating? Can our broken minds even conceive of the perfect kingdom, full of right standing, unpolluted justice, love, and compassion for all others, and nations at peace with one another? Every miracle, every lesson, and every parable, all of this is pointing to God's kingdom, and it is now here. Chapter 9 begins with Jesus teaching in Capernaum to a packed house. Not one more could fit in there. And yet, four men were so committed to their paralyzed brother that they took him anyway. They found a way to get him in. We all know this story. But things happened here. The people saw what had happened and were amazed. The Pharisees, not so much. The lines were drawn for them because they didn't like this. That doesn't stop God's kingdom from coming, but it shows the condition of the human heart. These were their leaders, but they were in rebellion against God and Creator, whose planet we walk on as if it is our own. Verse 8, the people who did witness this miracle truly got it. What were they doing? They went out glorifying God who had given such authority to men. Words were being spoken and energy was being released. All that Jesus is doing is to show a preview of God's kingdom. Are we seeing it yet? What is it like? As we read the word, we see example after example in his kingdom or of his kingdom. Sins are forgiven. Dancing is restored. Jubilation and celebration like never before. Generations have been waiting for the Creator of the world to work his permanent recreation back to the way it was before the tree in the garden, before the offense in the garden was ever committed. That perfect, perfect time. The Pharisees had very little interest. They were the leaders. They made the rules. Their power was all they saw. They missed the point. Let me just say, we are still in a time of Pharisees, sometimes in our own hearts. So I just say, beware what your heart is telling you that's coming out of your mouth. God's word, God's life in his word, speaks positive things, encourages, and brings forth life. Sometimes our hearts are deceitful above all else. They aren't speaking life to us or to anyone else around us. So check our words, check our hearts before we check our words, that we don't say or speak something that really is not life from God. Then Matthew, that despicable tax collector, what's he up to? Having a party? Well, Jesus called him and he becomes one of the 12. So you know this man is going to change. Well, the religious scribes and Pharisees had this idea that they really thought this was a scandal. And in their trusting in their own efforts to produce their own right standing, their own righteousness with God, this note from Andrew Womack says, Jesus did not come to accept people's sacrificial acts, but to make himself the sacrifice for their sins. Jesus could only minister to those who knew that they were sick spiritually and were looking for God and his mercy. Micah 6, and we touched on all these things this morning already. It just amazes me when God is moving in these ways. Micah 6, verse 8 says, he has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. We must understand that at the time when Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, there were kingdoms in his time. There are kingdoms in our time. Homelands, people's nations, borders. Every nation has their space granted by the Lord. He brings them up, he takes them down. So beware, beware, right? Verse 13, Jesus sends the Pharisees off with a little bit of homework. And this is homework they should have known the answer to right there. That little thing about God's kingdom, not your own. Hosea 6:6. For I desire and delight in steadfast loyalty, faithfulness in the covenant relationship rather than sacrifice. And in the knowledge of God, more than the burnt offerings. That is from the Amplified. What did the people see in this time? They saw lepers cleansed, legion driven out of a man, the centurion slave healed from a distance, Peter's mother, the young girl of 12 dead, the woman of 12 years bleeding and with no saving in sight. All these things taking place, thousands of other events witnessed by his disciples. Matthew 8:17 says, this was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. That's Isaiah 53:4. Jeff Mannion says, the more Jesus' popularity escalated, the more pressure there was on the Pharisees to make a statement, a press release, if you would. And that is found in Matthew 9 and 34. And I'm sorry, I've jumped way ahead of our scripture. So go home and read chapter 9 and 10. Verse 34 says, he casts out demons by the prince of demons. Can you just hear the people going, what? Really? I don't think so. Well, they had to put something out. They saw Jesus' power. And it just a little bit intimidated them, do you think? So they had to call it from the dark side, make it look like it's polluted somehow. That was not the case, and we know that. I say the people back then, even as lost as they were because they had no shepherds, knew better. They knew this had to be God. Nobody else. Nothing like this had ever happened before, and it certainly isn't coming from the dark side. There is a transition at this point. Jesus has been in Jerusalem. He's been calling those Pharisees, talking to them, trying to get them to see that it is not the way they think it is. So he goes out to the people in the surrounding area of Galilee, to all of those towns and villages, the same places he sent the disciples to, first the 12 and then the 70. There are some 200 little villages and towns all around the Lake of Galilee and that surrounding area. No, this is what they left saying. No, the kingdom of God has come near. People, we hear this over and over. People are like sheep without a shepherd. Most sheep can't survive without a shepherd. They have nothing to protect themselves. They have no way. What do? They bleat for help. And don't we find ourselves on our knees calling out to God to help us walk this life? He had two agricultural crises, and the sheep being the first, he is trying to get them to see that the sheep are lost. They need their shepherds to be on task. Shepherds keep the sheep safe. They kill bears. They kill lions. We know that from David. Helpless. They're helpless and they're harassed. They can't protect themselves. They don't know where to hide. They need to be told how to do it. The shepherd moves them safely from point A to point B. He takes them to quiet waters. He puts them into green pastures. He is the one who keeps the sheep and shows them the way. And then the people Jesus encounters had plenty of people telling them what to do. They had those Pharisees giving them rules, rules to live by. But the Pharisees offered only empty religion, rules without grace, their lifeless religion, and the sheep, the people of God, were floundering. Where do we see this? Well, let's look at the book of Ezekiel. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought for, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was not one shepherd to lead them. Food for the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered all over the mountains, on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to search or seek for them. This is Ezekiel 34, verses 4 through 6. That is the indictment of the prophet Ezekiel on the Jewish leaders of his day. Jesus is now using this same indictment on the Pharisees of his day. And I say we need to be careful in the world around us what we're hearing and evaluating according to God's living word, to be sure that we're hearing what God is saying to us and not others who are not good shepherds. So thankful to be here, to be under Pastor Tim, to be with Lisa and Liz and Gary and myself, to be with all of you, because you listen, you hear, and if you hear something, you usually ask, what was that point? So I am blessed in this place. In the midst of the lost people and the harvest, there is urgency. We can see all of these things in this time. So the second crisis is the harvest. the crops. You can't harvest a crop of grain too early or too late. Must harvest it when it's ripe, right then. If you don't, you risk loss of the crop. It could be pestilence, it could be storms, because the season changes right in that line. So the crops coming ripe is extremely important. So the harvest time is also extremely important. We can't have failed crops. No food, no provision. None of that would happen. It would be a bad season for those who would consume the harvest. Where are the harvesters of these crops? Let's move to expectation. We might expect Jesus to commission the 12 disciples to say, "Get on your feet and harvest that ripe grain." But instead, he tells them to get on their knees. "Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Jesus is telling them to pray. The people are the crops, and there is a need to harvest, and the need is now. The need is always now. The students, the disciples of Jesus, are now being sent out with that message. Their position has changed. We come here to this building and many others to their buildings in the hopes of soaking in the word, of learning what to do in order to go out and imitate the heart of Christ, his love and his compassion for his people should never be underestimated. No box can ever hold him. No small imagination can ever imagine fully just how all-encompassing is our God. He desires that all be brought into his fold. He wants to love us, to care for us. Can we understand that kind of love and get it in our hearts, yours and mine? So the heart of Christ brings energy, urgency, and expectation. We always talk about the living word, but do we understand the energy in the words God is speaking through his Son? This whole life is full of energy. It requires energy to be alive. The Word of God lives to bring new life and new beginnings into new beings. How many times have you been prompted by the Spirit to call somebody or write a note, only to discover that your call or your note was a salvation to them, was a saving grace, because it was something they were going to do that you stopped them from doing without even knowing it. Just God put that name on your heart and you responded. And there it was, something that changed their life for the better. We've all had those experiences. And even if we didn't respond down the road, we found out what was going on, and that became an issue. Mannion says, if people are like sheep without a shepherd, and there's a harvest without harvesters, well, maybe you'll experience this new kind of energy we are in even now. So think about that. We have something to do. He's speaking to us now in this day with this time of energy. He's calling us to move out in his kingdom, to do what he needs done. All of us can go to others and bring them alongside. And this is his harvest in the midst of that. Urgency, the revelation or realization that the stakes are high. God wants to involve us in something that he's all about. We are to be about the Lord's work, speaking the love of God through his Son so that the harvest will come. Be in awe that God wants to involve you and me in something much bigger than ourselves. That sense of urgency develops in you. That urgency is now. Not tomorrow, not the next day. It is right now. Do you sense it? Just speak to your spirit. I know, it's in there. The last word, expectation. Do you believe that God is at work even now, even in us, even in others who have not yet said yes to him, but they're coming? This is going on across the world as we speak. People are seeking for the Father. They have seen something they have never seen before. We are in a time we have never seen before. I might suggest that perhaps this next great awakening will happen beginning with prayer for that harvest. When our hearts are in tune and beating with Christ's heart in unison, we will have a heightened sense of expectation that God is on the move. Do you sense him moving even now? I hope whatever is happening in my heart doesn't rub off anytime soon. My hope is that this heart of Christ catches you too, that it captures you and doesn't let go. God is moving with increased energy. There is urgency. It is in our hearts. Something is happening, moving in God's people. There is expectancy in the air. Pray to the Lord of the harvest of souls that is coming and awakening his church to present herself prepared and ready for all God has to do. No worldly kingdom will ever prevail against it. They've tried, and they will fail. God's kingdom come, his will be done in heaven as it is, on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Okay. Ooh. What's next? I don't have mine. My song. Amen.
Just a little breakdown on the song we're about to do. The men will lead out in the verses and the ladies will sing the chorus. And then when we get to the bridge, the men will lead out and the ladies will echo. So.
I raise a hallelujah.
You may be seated. Oh, thank you, Lord. Come to our prayer time. Psalm 9, verse 11 says, "Sing the praises of the Lord, enthroned in Zion. Proclaim among the nations what he has done, for he who avenges blood remembers. He does not ignore the cries of the afflicted." Oh, Abba Father, we need you. We're so glad that you are enthroned. We love you. Continue to have your mercy upon us. And as so many are turning to you, many are running, but many are turning to you. You're the only one with mercy. Have mercy on this country. You have allowed this time to come to us. Excuse me. You have our attention, Almighty God. May this awakening continue to draw us to you, to other people. And what the enemy is trying to turn to evil, you are making good. The anarchists lay in wait for opportunity. They pounce. But you move the masses, bringing people together for healing, for peace, for justice. Oh, Father, some would have the pandemic, fear and isolation and separation and shut down continue forever. But no, you have used this time to reset, to awaken your bride, to give rest, to expose the enemy's plans and train your people. Not for separation, but for holy engagement. Thank you, Abba Father. We don't know exactly what is next. But we go with you. And we praise you. And we pray your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. And come with power. And Almighty God, there are battle lines being drawn. Help us to fight the good fight. Stand up for the vulnerable, to come alongside and stand with all people, to love as you've loved us. We do pray for healing, the brokenness in our nation, and we pray for a great coming together of your church, a beautiful mosaic of all tribes, tongues, and nations, showing the world what God's family is like. We do thank you for our brothers and sisters of color. Bless them today. Your church is stronger when we are together than when we stay apart. And Father in heaven, thank you for all that is good in our law enforcement agencies. Be with them and their families during this time. Be with all who have been hurt by an imperfect system. Bring healing and hope and justice. Thank you for our EMTs, for fire department personnel, and those serving the front lines in the hospitals and nursing homes. Oh, Lord, we pray for those striving toward you today who are crying out, calling out with expectation, reaching out to you in desperation and faith for healing and restoration and awakening and empowering. Break the chains, O Heavenly Father. We pray for those who are in the hospital, for those who have had procedures or awaiting procedures. We pray for Linda Campbell, your continued healing for her. We pray for Donna Montambo, the stroke she's had and waiting other procedures. Be with Donna today. Be with Liz. Be with the family. Your healing touch and your peace, oh God. We thank you for all of our elders. Protect them. Draw them near to you today. And Abba, we pray that you would turn the hearts of fathers to their children today and the hearts of all children to their fathers. You promise that in the end times, as your prophetic word goes out, this will be accomplished. This will happen. We claim it. We receive this promise. Yes, and for those who find it hard, do not have a relationship with their earthly father, bring mercy and grace and forgiveness, but turn their hearts to you, Heavenly Father, for direction and peace and security. Give them God-fearing spiritual fathers and mothers and family, and turn their minds to our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. for teaching and direction, and fill them with the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come, our comforter, counselor, helper. And God of wholeness, God of grace, to you we bring our thanks and praise. To a world that searches, you are a lamp that shines. To a world that is hungry, you are food that sustains. To a world that suffers, you are hope of release. To a world that's broken, you are one who restores. To a world full of hate, you are love that forgives. To a world that denies, you are truth that endures. To you we bring our thanks and our praise, God of wholeness and life and hope, our God of grace. Amen. One more song, let us stand together.
May the God of hope fill each and every one of you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace.